Throughout the last several weeks, Pastor Seawright has focused on the armor of God described in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We've heard about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet of peace. Today, we learn about three other major pieces that Christians have, based on Paul's description in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 16 through 17, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And now, let's listen to Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright as he talks about part five of our series on the armor of God called Eager Believers. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, church. All right, can we stand for a word of prayer? Let's bow our heads. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Lord. And Father, we just want to clear our hearts and our minds if they're not cleared already. Because, Lord, we want to worship you on today. Lord, we want to thank you for how good you've been. Lord, there are blessings that have occurred throughout this week, Father, and we want to pause to give you thanks, to give you honor, and to give you glory. And Lord, on today, we also want to glorify you and magnify you and lift you up through your word and not mine. So, Father, I ask that you just be with your servant on today as he impart your words to your saints, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. As always, just a few housekeeping things. One is that on today, there's a pastor's anniversary for Brother Timothy King. Okay, Brother Timothy King. I don't know the time on that, but you know, if you're inclined to support it, we ask that you do. I know that I will be there to support the brother. And then in addition to that, I mentioned weeks ago, and I'm mentioning it again because the time is getting close, there is the Unsung Hero Awards on June 3rd, and that's June 3rd, and like I said, we have a few recipients of that from our church, and if you're inclined to support that, I ask that you do, amen, and if you're just so inclined to support the great endeavor of Sunday school that is going on here at New Life. That was supposed to be a joke. but we're just asking you, as always, to support Sunday school and Tuesday night services. Amen. I can't stress how important that is. And it's interesting because it goes right in line with the message that I have on today. Eager believers. Are you an eager believer? Eager believer. We're still going over the armor of God. By way of introduction of the message, this is a story that was told by Warren Wiersbe. He said, "One Sunday afternoon, I visited a man who had been a deacon in a local church. but was at this time involved in a false cult. We sat at the table with open Bibles, and I tried to show him the truth of God's word, but it seemed as if his mind was blinded by lies. How did you happen to turn away from a Bible-preaching church and get involved in this belief? He turned to him and said, "Preacher, I blame the church. I don't know anything, or I didn't know anything about the Bible, and they didn't teach me much more. I wanted to study the Bible, but nobody told me how. Then they made me a deacon, and I wasn't ready for it at all. It was too much for me at that time. I heard this man preaching one day on the radio. He was preaching about the Bible, and it sounded as if he knew something and as if he knew what he was talking about. And I started to read his magazine and study his books, and now I'm convinced he's right." Wow. Wow. But this is not always the case where you have someone that is eager to know the truth and learn the truth, and then all of a sudden it's not given to them, right? There are some who are members of Bible-teaching churches, but they do not take advantage of the truth that is being taught. Amen? Say ouch if you can't say amen. Right? That's a dangerous predicament. And I said, and as I thought about this, I said, wow, a Christian that has no desire for truth, is that possible? Is that even possible to be a Christian that, and you have no desire for truth at all? You know, those who desire to learn are not taught. That's one. And then those who are taught but have no desire for it, that's another. They both are dangerous situations to be in. And they both are exposed to lies. Amen? But then you have another category. I don't know if it's worse, but I do know it's not better. Right? And that category belongs to those who make up their own grace. Right? They make up their own grace. Remember how we told you all before, like R.C. Sproul had said, there are four types of people. Those who are not saved and they know they're not saved. Then there are those who are saved and they are saved. Right? Then there are those who think they're not saved, but they lack that assurance, but they really are. But then here's the most dangerous type. Those who think they are saved, but they're not. Right? Wow, right? And you got folks going around making up their own recipe for grace. Making up their own recipe for grace. I have one cup of coming to church sometimes, a pinch of communion. I take it with a half of Sunday school, right? And one dose of I might come to Bible study. Mix that in a large bowl of I don't read the Bible, right? And serve it up. And serve it up. Making up your own grace. You know, so often we are confronted by various versions of Christianity, right? The Christianity that I read of in the 1600s and the 1700s is much different from the 2017 version of Christianity. And that's because folks are busy making up their own grace, their own grace. FYI, the leadership here at New Life, we love serving those eager souls for truth. We provide you with truth. We try to give you truth. And truth comes from the pulpit. Truth comes from our Sunday schools. Truth comes from our Tuesday nights. We try to give you truth. But giving you truth and you receiving truth, that's two different things. Amen? So in our study of the armor of God, this is the part of the study in which you'll see in verse 16 and verse 17, you'll see one key word, take. Take. You'll see it in verse 16 and in verse 17. Take. Take. Let's talk about take. You know, recently I witnessed a mother feeding a one-year-old baby, child, right, a son. And she was reaching in the diaper bag, getting the food. And so she got the food out and she began to like try to stir the food and everything else in preparation. And when the baby spotted that food, all of a sudden the baby just froze. And I'm just looking at it, and the baby froze, right? And then all of a sudden he started reaching for it like this, right? And then all of a sudden, when it wasn't coming quick enough, he started rocking back and forth. And then when it wasn't coming quick enough, he was rocking back and forth. And he said, "Ah! Ah! Ah!" And then all of a sudden, it wasn't coming. And then he started crying. "Ah! Ah!" And then finally, she was like, okay, wait. I'm getting ready for you. And then all of a sudden, she finally mixed it up just right. And then all of a sudden, a spoon of food was coming his way. And he did this. And he met it halfway. Take. Take means that something is being offered to you that you need to receive, that you need to reach out for, that you need to rock back and forth and open your mouth and say, "Ah, ah." God ain't going to do the rocking for you. He's not going to do that for you. He's saying, "Here it is. Take it and receive it. Can you reach for it and grab it? And use it." Amen? And use it. Paul says, "Receive it. Take it up. Reach for it, grab it, grab what God is offering you. Grab what God is offering to you." You know, so often God offers us the resources and he offers us the grace to be victorious, and yet we choose not to receive it. We make our own. Paul starts off by saying, "Above all," in verse 16, "above all, in addition to," or "in addition of all this," right? And that, in addition to all this, we were talking about this armor of God and all the pieces. And in addition to all that, what he was saying is, he was using a word that one author said it was super imposing or superimposition, if you will. And I said, boy, how to explain this? And the best way that I could think of explaining this is my mind went back to one of my daughters in their prom, right? And Sister Kelsey went to many proms. She was just a girl. But anyway, so she went to many proms. But I remember one dress, and this one dress, my best way of describing this dress is that it was some pattern lace on top. But what was interesting to me is that it had a skirt with print on it. It had some printing on that skirt or that bottom part of the dress. But then all of a sudden, that bottom part of the dress, over it, it had this sheer colored thing with its own print going on too. And then all of a sudden, when you put it over the bottom, it had this, just this awesome design to it, right? Superimposing, right? In other words, it's layers to this armor that you have going on. So while you're back there with the breastplate of righteousness and you got this belt of truth on, then all of a sudden you have this shield that is before you, and it's another layer, right? It's another layer going on because there is a war going on, right? It's a war going on. So you had the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and you had those gospel shoes on that grounded you and kept you in place. But then all of a sudden you had this shield that was before you, right? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. This was not in reference to saving faith. It assumed that you're already saved, right? This shield of faith was about your confidence in what God has provided for you. That confidence in what God has provided for you. Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you standing on the promises of God? You know, I have this one Bible. And this one Bible has a list of all the promises of God. And I just pulled it out last night and I said, wow, I wonder when people make their own recipes of grace, do they have all these promises? Nope. No, they do not. I don't think they have a promise of love that's found in John 3:16, a promise of forgiveness that's found in 1 John 1:9, salvation, Ephesians 2:8, the Holy Spirit, Joel 2:29, everlasting life, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:17, peace, Romans 5:1-2, joy, 1 Peter 1:8, freedom, Romans 6:6, growth, Philippians 1:6, encouragement, 1 Peter 2:9, excellence is promised to you, right? Proverbs 16:3, strength, 1 Peter 5:10, blessing, Ephesians 1:3, his presence, Matthew 18:20, and answered prayer. Does your mix of grace have answered prayer? 1 John 5:14-15, and then Christ's return. That's even promised to us in Acts 1:11. We have all of these precious promises. Are we standing on the precious promises of God? That's what that shield is about. When you're out there and things are coming your way, are you standing on the promises of God? You know, this shield is the same word that they use for door, because this shield was 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide, and it came before the soldier. And they use this same word for door. Just think about it. Door. If you open that door, if you open that gate to all the nonsense that's going on, it's going to shake your foundation. But if you keep that door closed, right, when those fiery darts are coming your way, and I told you all about those fiery darts, I told you that the enemy is trying to throw haymakers at you, right? Trying to throw these things violently throw them at you. And what is he throwing your way? He's throwing hateful thoughts about other people. Huh? Y'all ain't have no hateful thoughts about other people. Yeah, right. Right? Hateful thoughts about yourself. He's throwing that your way, right? He's throwing lies and doubts and blasphemous thoughts, right? He's throwing desires to sin your way. That's what those fiery darts are about. And you're blocking them and you're not letting them in the door to mess with you, to mess with what you're standing on, right? You can't open that door to those things, because when those fiery darts are thrown your way, and say if one gets in, what does fire do? Burns, and it what? Spreads, don't it? It spreads and it permeates every part. You can't let it in because it wants to just spread and consume you. Right? Spread and consume you. And how do these things get in? They get in the door, and you usually have two doorways. You have your eyes and your ears, right? And that helmet of salvation is used to protect your mind, right? But your mind is usually influenced by what you see and what you hear. And this helmet that Paul was talking about, guess what it had? It had a whole thing to surround your whole head, and then it had two flaps to go over the ears. Then it had a little visor thing to go over the eyes as well. So he was using a description to show that you need to protect your mind through what you see and what you hear. Because this helmet was a helmet of salvation. Once again, assuming that you are saved, you're already saved. So then, therefore, this was that salvation that was talked about in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. And it says this: but since we belong to this day, or to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That salvation is your hope. You have hope through your salvation. Just think about it. Just think about the hope that you have. You once were hopeless, but now you have hope. And I told y'all about hope before. Hope is seeing that future. And once you are looking to that future, you know that God's track record is good. How do you know it? Because faith has brought you this far, right? Faith has brought you this far, and you know that his track record is good. If he's done it before, he can do it again. So therefore, I can look to the future with hope. And salvation is my hope. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Protecting your mind. Protecting your mind. You know, some folks think they have it all together. If you tell them that they can't think, that is an offense to them. Because they know that they can think. But some folks that I have met are actually thinking their way to hell. They are. They have thought themselves so much so that they have an accelerated plan to hell. And it's hard to get them to budge from their own way of thinking. You ever heard of that saying that you're too smart for your own good, right? Fred Sanford would tell you, you are a smart dummy, right? I've met many folks that are too smart for their own good. They have outsmarted themselves. They have said to themselves, there is no God, or there is no reason for a God. Protecting your mind. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wow, y'all said that good. Amen. So you know what this thing is about. Renewing your mind. I told you all before, I was flipping the TV and I saw these pimps. Pimps. Out of all things. And the way they were dressed, it made me stop. And I said, what are these jokers talking about? With like furry hats and bedazzled glasses and, you know, and walking and everything else. But, you know, sometimes a broke clock, they say, is right, what, twice a day, right? So I was listening to it. And honestly, you know, they was going around and they pimp voices and everything else, and they was giving some logic, right? Giving some logic, and they were talking about, you know, how to be good at their craft. You know. And one brother said to the other one, you know, you get the mind, and the body will follow. And I said, wow. Wow, you get the mind and the body will follow. You know, what was interesting is that I said, man, my girls are going to think. I want them to use their heads, right? And I want them to be thinkers, right? I want them to renew their mind in truth. To guard from that type of foolishness. And my son as well, I want him to renew his mind right in truth and wash away and guard from that type of foolishness, that helmet of salvation, right? You place it on and all this stuff that folks are trying to tell you that's right, when you wash that mind of yours in the word, and you got that hope ahead of you of seeing him one day, then you can call foolishness, foolishness, right away. Amen? He goes on to say in Philippians 3, not that I have already attained. And this is what that eager believer is all about. He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do we have some eager believers here today? Are you pressing? Are you running as hard as you can? Because the word picture for these verses here in Philippians is that it's a brother that's just stretching and reaching out as much as he can to that prize of the call of the high calling. He's given it all he got to get there. Can we say that we have that here? That we are reaching. In fact, it says it's like he's double reaching. How can you double reach? It's almost like you pulling your arm out of socket to reach that goal. And you're forgetting those things which are behind. What's behind that can keep you in one place? One is your failures. If you keep looking back to your failures, right, and not forgiving yourself, that can keep you in one place and you are like stoic. But guess what's another thing that can keep you behind? Your successes. Because while you're there just gloating about how good you are, life is still going on. So you can't get caught up with those things, and you got to keep pressing ahead. You got to protect your mind. And then we are talking about that sword. And John MacArthur gave a great illustration as to why we only have one offensive thing, right? This is our offense, and it's that sword of God. Why is it our only offense? Because one, it's infallible. He goes on to say that it's inerrant, it's complete, it's authoritative, it's sufficient, it's effective. And then if it's all that, that's all we need is one, right? That's all we need is one. Here's the problem. We never pick it up. Some of us hardly ever pick it up. That sword, that Bible, right? That Bible that is there, do we pick it up and just read it? It's so convenient today that the thing that you are looking at Facebook on, if you just close that Facebook app, then you might have YouVersion. And you just hit YouVersion with this finger. Just hit it. And then boom. You can open up the Bible. And then if you look down lower, it says reading plan. It's so convenient. Right? And then you hit reading plan. It's just got one reading plan. That's all. It has so many reading plans for you that if you're busy, it'll break down the Bible in 2 years. But if you got more time, I read the Bible in 90 days. It is so convenient, but do we pick it up? Do we pick it up? Do we read the Bible? Because if you don't read the Bible, then you won't be able to use the Bible when you need the Bible. In other words, you won't be able to use the Word in a time in which you need the Word, right? Some folks, it's funny because there are different degrees there too. Some folks are so unfamiliar with the Word that they really don't know if it's in the Word or not, right? Like you hear a phrase that's so popular in church and so popular among saved people, you say, that's scripture. That's scripture. You know, if you find out you take one step, he'll take two. Oh, what book that's in? What book that? You take one step, he take two. What book that in? Right? What book that in? You won't find it. Right? You won't find it. Right? So you have those that, you know, that they're so unfamiliar with the word that sounds so good that, man, they got to be in the word. You know, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. You one step, he'll take two steps. Right? It's got to be in there. Right? But then you got the other, he got the other folks, right? And other folks, they're a little better because they'll say, boy, okay, man, I know it's somewhere because what he's saying, it don't sound right. It don't sound right, but I know it's, let me call Pastor. Pastor, Elder, I know it's a scripture that say, I know it says something about love. It's about love, God loving us. Are you talking about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Where that's at? Right? Where that's at? Right? And then you tell them where it's at. Right? But then you have those that are at that level where Christ was. And this is where we need to be as well. We need to be familiar enough with the word where Christ, during his temptation experience, has shown us what we need to do. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said unto him, it is not written. Man, is it not written? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, Deuteronomy. You see how he just fought the situation with the word? Wait, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, right, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And Jesus answered and said to him, is it not written? Right? It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See how he used the word in those situations. That's the level that we want to be. We want to be at that level where we can use the sword of God, right? To defend off the enemy each time that he comes. And we want to understand what these precious promises of God are all about. And we want to claim them, and we want to embed them in our hearts and our minds so that we can stand on them in time of need. Church, this is a tough, tough message to preach because it's not one that's telling you how awesome and beautiful and great you are. It's not. It's not. And I get that. And I promise you, I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to fast. I'm going to say, Lord, give me a feel-good message for these people so that they can be like, well, yeah. But this is the tough meat, right? This is that tough meat. This is that castor oil, right, that you got to take down, right? That you got to take down. See, it's a temptation up here for preachers. Some preachers can preach, and like I said, it's a temptation. Every preacher wants to come up here and just say, woo, did I slay them? Woo, you see them falling out and music, you know, oh yeah, oh man, I tore them up today, right? And a lot of them, and they want to come down, and they just want to hear, ooh, that was good word. Oh, that was good word. So what they do, they come up here, and they try to give you, like, every rhyme that they know and everything else, because they want to, you know, that's part of our culture. We want to hype you up, right? We like entertainment, right? We do. We do. But here's the truth. Truth is truth, right? And sometimes truth don't come your way. I remember when I was telling truth to my kids, they weren't smiling at me feeling good all the time. Some of that truth that I had to deliver, move your leg, move your hands, move your hands. Some of that stuff wasn't good, right? But it made them better. It made them better. Church, I'm hoping to make you better. I'm hoping to make you better. That's my prayer and that's my aim. Be eager about serving God. Be eager about coming out and knowing what His truth is. Each week I say, please come to Sunday school. In essence, I'm saying, please get some truth. Be eager about coming to Tuesday night. In essence, I'm saying, please learn what God got for you. Please learn what God has for you. We can give it, but we can't receive it. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.